Bengals Beat podcast, sponsored as always by 50 West Brewing Company. Owner Bobby Slattery, he's better known to you all as Optimistic Bobby for his rosy Bengals takes, but he truly has something special going on down on Route 50 in Newtown. They combine delicious beers, like my personal favorite, the best IPA anywhere, coast to coast, as well as always rotating seasonal selections. They combine that with an active lifestyle, running groups, sand volleyball leagues, cycling, canoeing, all that based out of the Pro Works. Go on down there, eat some fantastic food, drink some great local craft beer in what I honestly think is the best brewery environment our city has going. Anyway, if you get a chance, head on down to 50 West Brewing Company. Always a great time where every beer is a journey. Join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast, sponsored by 50 West Brewing Company. Every week, your Bengals beat writers Paul Danner Jr. and Fletcher Page take you inside Paul Brown Stadium. We're plugged into the club from the front office to the field. Win or lose, hiring or firing, we're always here to keep you in the loop. Let's go. All right, welcome back to the Bengals Beat podcast. It's another walkout. 2 days, two walkouts. A very different
vibe
as we do this same walk that we did last night on our BBP. Sponsored and fueled, as always, by the good friends at 50 West Brewing Company. And oh boy, were people deep in the punch you in the IPA tonight. This was a punch you in the IPA night. The coast to coast goes back into the fridge. The American lager back into the fridge. We need the heart. This might have been a barley wine night, actually, now that I think about it, because this was one where the Bengals fans are none too pleased. As far as what happened, in case you don't know, the Bengals trade back in the second round from 42 to 52, add a fourth and a sixth from Denver. They select tight end Drew Sample from Washington with 52, and then with their third round pick, they took linebacker Jermaine Pratt from NC State with number 72. That is the basics of what happened in the actual draft. Now, what happened amongst Bengals fans mostly involved just gurgling moonshine and other various powerful liquors as they cannot believe that the Bengals selected Drew Sample and are it's just drunken rioting at this point.
There were so many different, if you were a quarterback guy, if you were push John Ross out guy, load up on offensive tackle guy,
maybe linebacker guy,
get Greedy Williams guy.
Yeah.
There were so many different people out there that could have been satisfied with this luxury pick at number two. And I think the last thing that anybody would have forecasted was tight end.
Particularly run blocking, non-receiving, big draft group think says he's a fourth or fifth round pick guy. And it leaves people feeling very unsatisfied, I should say. Kareem, how do you feel about it? It should be said that we should go behind the curtain. We've already had quite a few animated discussions about this topic as the night has gone on. So I'll just say that, and then I'll say, Kareem, how do you feel?
Well, I'm shocked by the pick just as much as
yeah.
But, like, I'm the linebacker guy, okay? Mm-hmm. And so when, you know, I saw a tight end second round, I want to go up to people and grab him and be like, this is not a drill. We need a linebacker. And so I understand. I'm not opposed to taking a tight end. I understand it's an area of need, as is linebacker. Linebacker, in my opinion, and I think the consensus is it's a higher area of need. And if you need a run-blocking tight end for your scheme, I think they could have maybe gotten something comparable to that skill level later in the draft, and as Fletcher said, use that luxury pick on an impact player at receiver, at linebacker in the second round. Now, linebacker after the two Devins drops off, okay, it drops off. So yeah. The argument could be made that you're not really going to get that great of a caliber of player at in the second round at linebacker. Go get an impact wide receiver, because you need a wide receiver after A.J. Green and Boyd. I don't have very much faith in John Ross. He drops passes out of bounds regularly. And so when I see tight end, I'm like, we need linebacker? The Bengals need a linebacker, and the Bengals need some kind of impact player.
Edge
and
rusher?
I was shocked.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to taking what you need, and you need a run-blocking tight end, but later.
Yeah. There's an interesting thing that comes about now as the draft has become so popular, and I reference it a lot in passing, and I joke about it, but it's a very real effect on how fans think, and that is big draft group think, what pundits say, what the national media says. As we go into day three tomorrow, there are tons of guys on the board that big draft everywhere says we're going to be first round picks or late second round picks or whatever, that should have been long gone, and people cannot believe, have no reason, why are they still here? Why did Will Greer last this long? Why did DK Metcalf last that long? Why did this guy last? Because the league very certainly views certain players differently than Big Draft does. And does that mean that Big Draft is wrong and teams are right? No, but teams and insiders often value different things that maybe others don't. And the thought that I would say certainly Big Draft does not value anybody who is a run-blocking tight end. The Bengals in this scheme, and I'm not saying this is the right pick or anything. I'm trying to explain what the Bengals are telling us and what the logic is here. In this scheme where it is about running the ball and play action, getting the number one run-blocking tight end who has shown the ability to, you know, he had 25 receptions this last year when they actually used him that way, showed the ability to actually be athletic and make some plays, didn't drop the ball when thrown to him. Maybe he's got some upside there. They can scheme that open, and he can be a power in the run game, and he's supposedly one of the best interviews they had the entire time, and he's going to be all those things. Then that's what they want. They feel like that's what this offense has lacked. And that was the blind spot on this roster. Clearly they think that. Clearly they thought that. And because the first two picks are based around creating that. Jonah Williams and Drew Sample are based around creating a really productive, hardcore play action offense that can have some real teeth to it.
You know the way Bobby Hart probably felt last night? John Ross feels the exact opposite tonight.
Yeah,
right.
It's a good indicator for him.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, this was that was the pick where they could have put John Ross on notice, and they didn't. You know, they essentially, we knew that we weren't going to be seeing many years of Tyler Eifert here. We knew they're basically looking for 1 year of him and whatever the hell that is going to be. CJ Uzama is a great, can do a bunch of different thing guy. I mean, that's what they want out of the tight end position. He came in never having done it.
Right.
The fact that he's learned it to the point that he has is impressive, but they don't feel like they have a tight end that can go out there and smack people in the mouth and that people will respect him as a blocking tight end and then be able to run open. That is why they value him. We just don't know if the other scouts, because you talk to people, they're like, you know what? Scouts valued this guy way more than the big media did or whatever. And that's not just from inside of this building. We just don't know if he was going to be available in the third round or the fourth round when everybody thought he would. We just don't know that. And maybe they did overdraft him. Maybe it was a huge mistake. Time will tell.
We'll revisit it in 3 years.
With all these picks.
And one of the things we talked about on the podcast earlier when we were leading up to the draft is that you can't hit on every single pick. And I understand that, okay? And so you might, I really hope for Drew Sample's sake he's a badass. Because I want him to come in and block and catch and like, oh, this guy's really good. Maybe he's really worthy of that second round selection. I just do also want to transition to the linebacker that they chose.
Yeah, Pratt.
Jermaine Pratt seems like the new school NFL linebacker that they need. He's fast. He's long. He can run laterally fast, side to side.
Converted safety.
Converted. So that hybrid position, more of that mix. I think So from a draft perspective, first pick of the draft, A+, in my opinion. The second round pick, the tight end, I think it's a C at this point. The linebacker, it's pretty good. B plus for at the round, at in the third round to get that kind of linebacker, I think that was a good selection.
Well, I think at this point they were able to get the number one offensive tackle on their board, and they were able to address a linebacker that can be a three down guy, multiple position linebacker. So those were the two crucial things they had to have coming out of the first 2 days.
Yeah.
And they knocked it out, and they showed us what they valued with their luxury pick being a blocking tight end in the second round.
I wonder, just from a strictly fan sanity sake, how different things would have felt if they would have taken Pratt with number 52 and Sample with number 72.
And that's
if it would have felt different. Oh, because then it's like, well, they didn't. Because guess what? You know, people were sending me. So then people start sending me the scouting reports, and someone sends it. Well, ESPN had him as number 72, and maybe that makes me feel a little bit better.
Right.
And it's like, because this stuff is all over the board, and it's like, if you would have taken him at 72, would it have felt okay? Well, now they are third round is where they should have taken a tight end, and their value. You know, I just feel like at that, people are just mostly mad because these people are saying that he should have been drafted later, and maybe he should have. Like we just really don't know, and I think people want to believe that everything you see in these reports is correct, and it's just not necessarily what translates. And that goes to show by the guys that are still available today on day three that some people had as top 15 players in this draft.
I think also, I mean, I learned a lot about the importance of blocking, run blocking in this scheme, because I'm going to be honest, I am not a draft junkie, okay?
Right.
So I was like, okay, I know blocking is important in football, it is, but I was like, in the second round, run blocking is that important? In this instance, in this scheme, it is.
Apparently.
And I learned that. I'm like, okay.
I think we all learned that.
And I think Bengals fans have learned that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was thinking, what was the wide receiver's name? Paris Campbell. I was like, okay, get Paris Campbell in the second round. Really good impact player. This is after the fact, after they drafted Drew Sample. They could have gotten an impact player like that to play, in my opinion, at a thin wide receiver position to contribute right away, and then go get a comparable, maybe not as good as Drew Sample, but a comparable run-blocking tight end later. So to me, it seemed like that was like a two-for-one deal. Now I just feel like they spent too much money. They spent all their money in one place.
Yeah.
You know.
The bottom line is Bengals fans are mad and they hate the team again and they're jumping off the bridge and no one's going to be in the stadium and these guys are in same day, same crappy day. This is just the worst thing that's ever happened. It's not a pick that anybody likes. It's to sit here today and say Drew Sample is going to be terrible. No one can say that. We haven't seen anything that we know what he's going to be. Did they maybe miss on some value? Did they misevaluate? Did they not judge the room correctly? Guess what? Maybe. But we don't know that. We can't say that for sure. Is it a reach? I think it's a reach. I think it was a reach for sure. But we can't say for certain that he would have been available in tomorrow or in the third round or whatever.
I think Bengals fans have the same hope for me. I just hope he comes in here and balls.
The Bengals traded back 2 years ago, and they ended up taking Joe Mixon. The Bengals traded back last year. They ended up taking Jesse Bates. And they have had success gauging and selecting in the second round with this exact strategy in recent years. Maybe they're now 2 for 3. Well, I don't. We'll find out. We'll find out. We know what else we'll find out.
Is if
two riders can survive 10 picks in one day, as we now have 2 fours, a 5, 6 sixes, and a 7. coming. I would, again, I would assume there's going to be some sort of getting rid of these sixes and moving up in the fifth. With the, whoever they see as somebody that they feel is about to come off the board that they like, package a couple of sixes or three sixes and move up to go get them.
Yeah, but I mean, who from the six rounds ever become anything?
They still need a linebacker. Right?
Exactly. That was the tweet fired off to me. You ask, because we have Zach Taylor on Monday at 50 West at 6 p.m. He's going to be there. I'm sure we'll be talking about this Drew sample pick. I bet fans will be turning in some cards with questions about that too. And we will get these questions answered for you. But the one that was fired off to me immediately, you asked him if anybody good has ever come out of the sixth round. And I
can't think of any.
I don't know. Is Tom Brady the most famous pick in the history of the National Football League? Probably. Antonio Brown. I mean, does this happen all the time? No. Has the Bengals ever hit massive home runs in the sixth round? No. Am I expecting them to get Tom Brady or Antonio Brown? Yeah. No. But let's not pretend like no one good has ever come out of this round in the history of the NFL. That said, they better get rid of a bunch of those. Because I don't plan on wanting to write about those dudes. No offense, future Bengals six-round picks. All right, this has been really enjoyable.
It's good.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good.
It's fine.
It's fine. I hope your drink of choice was potent.
Sports.
Let's keep that in perspective,
it's
people.
Sports.
It's sports.
You know.
Don't be nice to your pets. There's
delete
no
your
reason.
Twitter.
Delete your
scrub.
Remember,
your Twitter.
Scrub it. If you ever want to be somebody, scrub it when you're nobody. That's important.
Oh, that's important.
And some people out there that ever want to get another job might want to scrub their Twitter from tonight.
Right.
Scrub that, baby. Anyway. All right. Again, a reminder on Monday at 6 o'clock at 50 West, we're going to have the live BBP, myself, Fletcher, Zach Taylor, Kareem. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Kareem will come down and be like, I got a question, Zach.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? Run blocking tight end.
The second round.
So take a listener. Come on down. You get to witness that. It should be a good time. Hope to see you down there. And there will not be one of these tomorrow because we're going to be dead.
Yeah.
And so so maybe like a zombie. You'll get a zombie walkout tomorrow. All you're going to hear is just silence and then brains. Brains. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the BBP. We'll talk to you at some point.